You are tuned into Lightly on the Ground Radio. I'm your host, Sunny Gardner, and producer today also. Today, our guests are two women, one whom I've known for a long time and one whom I just met. Sally Norton is a public health professional and has become a spokesman for a type of diet low in oxalates. I first met her in a natural food store where I was sharing fresh steamed edamame, a protein-rich, if controversial, bean called Glycine Max, commonly known as soybeans. She declined because of health concerns. Later, she bought naturally grown sweet potatoes from me by the bushel, but then she discovered a sensitivity to a chemical in them that causes her all kinds of grief. It's oxalate. Our other guest today is Jane Cummings, and she has a very interesting story too, but I only heard it a few minutes ago, so we'll get back to that. But she is one of Sally's clients. So let's hear your voices, Sally. Tell us a little bit about what an oxalate is and why most people should be aware of them. And then we'll hear Jane's story, okay?
Wonderful. Oxalate has become my favorite topic, and it was something I knew nothing about for all of my career, despite having a degree in nutrition from Cornell and deciding on that as a very young child, that was my field, public health, health promotion, and nutrition education. Yet I was very undereducated about this issue. And because of my proclivity for healthy living and gardening, I was eating foods inadvertently high in oxalate and had no idea that that could build up in my system and cause me problems. Oxalate can harm the nerves. They generate pain. Direct contact gets in your system. Direct contact with nerves will irritate them. But they also cause histamine release, and histamine causes pain. They also can aggravate something we call the inflammasome, which is the other side of the immune system we don't hear a lot about.
Inflammasome?
Inflammasome. Yeah, okay. That's another topic for maybe another day.
Yeah.
But oxalate is this tiny little molecule. It only has two carbons and a couple of oxygens hanging around. It starts off as oxalic acid, and we call it oxalate because it strips off its little hydrogens and connects to minerals. And then we technically call that a salt, so it's called oxalate.
So it's crystalline.
It goes crystalline, especially if it grabs calcium or calcium grabs it. And that's its favorite place to be, is tied up with calcium. Calcium oxalate is famous for being the major ingredient in most kidney stones. That's the place that people are familiar with. Oh, health problem, kidney stones, which is a problem that's getting more common, more with young people than it used to be, and more in women than it used to be.
So what is your experience with it, Jane? How did you discover that you had an issue with oxalates?
I thought I was eating a very healthful diet. When I first met Sally, I was quite shocked and in disbelief at the fact that she was telling me that the foods that I thought were so healthful were indeed possibly harming my body.
And which foods particularly were you made aware of?
Things like the dark leafy greens that we're all told to eat, and I was eating quite a few of those and growing my own vegetables, tomatoes that I love. I was eating so many of them. Sweet potatoes, I was growing my own and eating just loads of them. I love berries and nuts and seeds. I carry around pocket food that lasts for a long time, those nuts and seeds that we can take with us. I felt like that was the best way to eat. Indeed, what I found out by following Sally's advice was that a lot of the pain in my body went away. It subsided. And the kinds of pain that I was having was severe joint pain, to the point that it was quite debilitating sometimes. And the nerve pain that she was talking about, I was having issues with neuropathy, problems with my feet. I was seeing a doctor that was helping me out with that. Probably the brain fog that I was having could be attributed to the oxalate overload that was happening in my body. All the while, I wasn't really aware of it. I'm not a very old woman, but I already have osteoporosis, and I think that that may be something that's associated with the calcium that Sally was just talking about, having been depleted from my body by attaching itself to the heavy load of oxalates in my body. And since following her advice, I have improved tremendously, and I've repeated it a number of times where I find that, oh, all of a sudden, this pain might start returning, and I say, what am I doing? And there it is. I'm doing the same kinds of things because life comes down on us hard sometimes, and I might find myself picking up a wonderful smooth green smoothie or a dark green salad or something like that.
Oh, with lots of spinach in it, for example.
Yeah, that would be a great example.
So my understanding is that some greens are richer in oxalates than others. Are there greens that are more acceptable to a low oxalate diet? Because it sounds like everything I eat is going to be causing me this pain. So
that's the response that I had in the beginning. I told Sally I was quite angry at the information that I was learning because I felt like I had worked so hard to get to the point of having a healthful diet. And then she was telling me that everything that I had chosen was probably a bad food. And so in the end, I realized that that wasn't really true. My biggest takeaway there was that I needed to moderate the foods that I was eating and not be overloading any of them, and then balancing them out with other foods that I might not be eating. And for me, that meant adding a little bit more meat and changing some of my vegetables. So, for instance, you asked about the dark greens. I choose romaine lettuce more often. I happen to love it. I just choose it more often. And then moderate, you know, things like we've all heard 3 to 7 almonds might be good at keeping cancer away. But if I was hungry throughout the day and I was eating 27 almonds a day,
that would be me.
It's pretty easy to do. And that's considered overloading the body. Mm-hmm. And so I backed off and started eating different foods. And the first week or two was very difficult. But after that, I haven't had very many problems at all.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's good news.
It's very good news.
That you actually felt a response to your dietary change within a few weeks.
Yes, yes. Sally helped me with that. So, you know, and the responses that I had that were negative responses, she explained why that was happening. And that was good information as well. And since I've been on the diet for almost 2 years now, I noticed that I can easily tell when I... For instance, if you wake up and you have a hard time going up or down the stairs, or you have joint pain and you wonder why, now I have the knowledge of why, and it makes a big difference in my daily life.
Right. So at first, the knowledge was kind of fearful. Oh my gosh, everything I eat is causing this problem. But now you have adjusted your diet, and you're aware when you stray from the path that you know works for you.
My body tells me when I do it, and then I have to search for the reason, and then I can find it, and it's usually on Sally's list of things to moderate.
Wow, that I really like that attitude change. Yeah.
It works.
Good stuff, yeah. So scientifically speaking, Sally, what has actually happened in Jane's diet that has made her feel so much better and to be able to recognize the differences as she changes her diet?
Those of us who are of a certain age will remember a show called I Love Lucy. And I Love Lucy had many famous scenes, but probably the most famous of all, and you can find it on YouTube to check it out, is the scene in the chocolate factory. Lucy and her best friend have new jobs at the chocolate factory wrapping the chocolates, and they're standing in front of a conveyor belt, and the conveyor belt's coming along, and at first they're doing okay, sort of, and then more and more chocolates come, and the belt gets a little faster, and it becomes too much. That conveyor belt is kind of like our diet. And Lucy and her buddy is the metabolism trying to manage all this incoming chocolate. And in fact, chocolate is high in oxalates, so it's a good fit.
Oh, no!
So what's happening metabolically is if Jane can slow down that conveyor belt and slow down the number of chocolates heading at her metabolism, then she can get out of defensive mode. Because what happened to poor Lucy is she was so overwhelmed, she started stuffing the chocolates into her shirt and blouse, down her bra, under her hat, in her mouth, got all over her face. It's hilarious. But it's not so hilarious to be living like that, because that's the metabolism being in a defensive mode, ending up with accumulations of oxalate in glands like the thyroid gland, interfering the function of glands, ending up migrating towards the bones and in the joints. So you get crystals of oxalate in joints and pretty much any tissue, especially tissues that are stressed, tissues where the cells have been injured or dying or inflamed or otherwise not well nourished, they have the least ability to handle that well. And so the oxalate crystals, they start off as ions and then these tiny nanocrystals, which are completely invisible to science. And those crystals can attach to proteins on flagging or ill cells and become sites of deposits. This happens in the kidneys, and you get kidney stones. And the stones that form throughout the rest of the body are not well known. So when you reduce the speed and volume of oxalates coming into the body, that is slowing that conveyor belt down, the body can get out of that defensive mode and start unloading what's under the hat and in the shirt back out on the conveyor belt, and it can be removed by the kidneys and the colon, and even the sweat glands can help. But primarily, 90% of the oxalates that get into our body come out in the urine. So for people who have that accumulation happening in their kidneys, it might require the kidneys themselves some time to clear up and empty out that backload. So that's a big shift in the metabolism from a defensive stance to a clean-out stance. And the clean-out is a little bit like reconsuming all that pocket food, all those almonds, that spinach, those sweet potatoes. They have to move again out of those crystal deposits, be dissolved down into nano-sized crystals so they can be moved out into the bloodstream and then moved out through the kidneys. It's kind of like handling radioactive material where it has this potential for harm the whole time it's moving around. So unloading the body can cause symptoms, which creates a little confusion because you're on the diet now and you should feel awesome all the time, but that's not how it goes because you've got to clean up the system as well. Does that help?
It does. It does. And it makes sense because earlier you mentioned that one of the that what happens when people get kidney stones is that calcium and the oxalic acid have bonded and they get into bigger chunks apparently.
Right.
And so that's happening all in the body. Yeah. I mean, just as we're talking, I'm thinking, oh, well, maybe that's what's wrong with my thumb sometimes. Or, you know, that's why my feet feel round on the bottom. That's that
hands
neuropathy.
Hands and feet. That's exactly, you're right on. You are right on.
The extremities.
Garner. Yeah, we see a lot of hands and feet. One of our buddies who are in, I have a support group for people who want to be on the low oxalate diet and otherwise do nutritional healing and self-care. And one of our stalwart attendees and supporters, she had to convince her husband to give up his peanut butter and celery snack in the evening. It was a ritual that helped wind down the day, and he loved the peanut butter, and she had changed the rest of the diet, but he still was clinging to this one high oxalate food. And after she brought him out to hear me speak, he decided to try life with yogurt or something other than peanut butter. And lo and behold, now he plays the piano without thumb pain and hand pain. And that's a lot more fun.
Yeah, yeah.
So you did ask about greens.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure we gave you a complete answer. Just like I mentioned a few favorites of mine, bok choy, cabbage, arugula, cilantro. Jane mentioned romaine lettuce, which is standard, and it's very useful in so many ways.
Well, how about kales?
Yes, the dino kale is the good, nice, low oxalate kale.
Hmm.
But your
and that's lacinato
or
Tuscan kale.
Yes.
Okay.
Got it. Perfect. The other kales, particularly the curly green kale, is very high in oxalate.
No.
Yeah. So pick the ugly kale.
Okay. Yeah, it has a very different texture.
Very different color. It's almost blackish and green.
Right.
Yeah.
So most of it is the brassicas. You're saying the cabbage and the...
Those are low. The brassicas tend to be low in oxalate as a rule of thumb.
So broccoli, Brussels sprouts?
Those are all pretty low.
Right. Broccoli, how about protein? Go ahead.
Broccoli is best if you boil it because the soluble oxalates will leach into the boiling water and you can reduce the oxalate by a third and have a bigger portion. So it is really about dose and portion size.
So rather than steam your vegetables, you're saying boil them.
Especially the research is demonstrating very clearly that works well for broccoli. And it's often a good strategy for the brassicas because they need to be well cooked as well. And boiling is a nice way to get an even cooking texture where everything's cooking at the same speed. And from a culinary point of view, boiling can be really a lovely approach too.
Okay, so you wouldn't want to have kale chips, for example, lacinato kale chips.
Well, you could do that. That's there are. It's already low enough in oxalate that that would work from an oxalate standpoint.
So let's talk about protein. What are the better sources of low oxalate proteins?
Well, most proteins that are concentrated are coming from animal foods like eggs, milk, meats.
Well, that would depend on what the animal has eaten.
Well, muscle is high protein, regardless of what they've eaten. Now, you're going to get better quality fat. You're going to get much better nutrient value. You're going to get a cleaner product, depending on the diet of the animal. Mm-hmm. But from a standpoint of just getting protein or avoiding oxalates, animal flesh does not, even though we can build it up in our systems, you're not going to get oxalate from animal foods.
Oh, okay.
It's made by plants. Plants need oxalate for their defense and metabolism. Mm-hmm. And animals do not.
So how about someone who wants to be vegetarian or vegan? Where are they going to get their protein?
Right, because the seed in biology seems to be using oxalate as a way to store calcium. So calcium oxalate is the calcium pantry for a seed. And the seed, when it starts to germinate, it splits off that calcium and uses it for the germination metabolism to help generate its own amino acids and grow. So you're going to see all the beans that vegetarians like to rely on are pretty high in oxalate, but you could switch to black-eyed peas, and chickpeas aren't too bad either. Instead of the really high ones are the navy beans, great northern beans, and black beans.
Oh.
But the really most beans and seeds are high. There's just the black-eyed peas, green peas. The pea family seems to be pretty low.
Okay, that's interesting because what you've done is basically break it down into the three main families of beans, the phaseolus, the vigna, and the peas, whose name escapes me. But the phaseolus are the black beans, the white beans, and that sort of thing. And then chickpeas are in the pea family, mm-hmm. or maybe yet another one. But the black-eyed peas and the Crowder peas and the field peas, which would be lower in oxalate, are actually in the vigna family. And they grow really well in this region.
Right, they do. They're a famous southern pea. And so you're catching on to the fact that there's these metabolic tendency within these plant families where you can do some rules of thumb a bit with the plant families. The buckwheat's another plant family that likes to produce a lot of oxalate.
Mm.
So buckwheat is one of the worst sort of grain-like seeds in terms of oxalate content.
And people who want to eat a vegetarian diet often go to the buckwheat sources because it's a wintry yang kind of bean.
Right.
It's not a bean, it's a seed.
Right. But there's sweet potatoes in the buckwheat family.
Oh, right.
And sorrel, I don't know, but that might be a little esoteric for folks. I think the main thing is to remember we have to measure the food to really know what's in it, and mm-hmm. it requires good data. And unfortunately, there's been a lot of confusion about that, and it's kind of like the game of telephone where someone says something and then it gets repeated, and then by the time it gets repeated enough times, it's mm-hmm. been completely morphed into something different. We didn't have good technology for accurate testing of foods until about 1980, so the USDA data hasn't been updated and has a lot of mistakes and wrong data in it, so you can't use USDA data. And the data has been, unfortunately, not combined into one public database. So there's two nonprofits who have been getting food tested for 25 years and getting good, accurate data. A lot of the lists that urology offices will put on the internet are incomplete, short, and full of errors. So you have to be working with someone who's really done the diet, who's really done their research, who's using good data to do this correctly.
Well, I somehow feel that information might be available at sallyknorton.com. Is that right?
Yes, we have a starter list there, and that's how you can reach me. I give talks in Richmond pretty frequently and mm-hmm. offer detailed handouts as part of that. I also offer consultations where you can get all kinds of vetted information. I've spent years studying this because I myself was so shocked that I didn't know this and that this was even possible. In order to really straighten it out in my head, I had to know everything.
Right. Well, I think that has served you well because I've watched you over the last 10 or so years and your health has increased noticeably.
I feel 30 years younger now than I did when I met you.
All right. Well, let's go listen to some music on that note. How about Mary Chapin Carpenter's I Feel Lucky?
Sounds great to me.
All right.
Well, I woke up this morning, stumbled out of my rack. I opened up the paper to the page in the back. It only took a minute for my finger to find my daily dose of destiny under my sign. My eyes just about popped out of my head. It said the stars were stacked against you, girl. Get back in bed. I feel lucky. I feel lucky today. Well, I strolled down to the corner, gave my numbers to the clerk. The pot's 11 million, so I called in sick to work. I bought a pack of Camels, a burrito, and a Parks. Crossed against the light, made a beeline for the park. Above me saying, girl, you better get back home. But I feel lucky. Oh, 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 I feel lucky, yeah. No tropical depression gonna steal my sun away.
You are listening to Lightly on the Ground Radio today. And we are recording here in studio at WRIR, that's Richmond Independent Radio. It's an all-volunteer station, and we are volunteering our time to tell you the story about how to deal with an oxalate-rich diet and maybe even, shall we say, recover from it. Let's hear Jane's story. So you were suffering from something and didn't quite know what was going on. What were your symptoms and how did you work through it?
I met Sally because of my symptoms. I was at a doctor trying to handle symptoms that came out of the blue because I happened to be in a car accident. And at that time, things just kept manifesting one after the other. And many people told me their experience was very similar, but then Sally explained it to me that oftentimes oxalates get really bounced around in the body. And that
during a trauma.
Yes.
Okay.
A traumatic experience like I had can bring them out and cause them to be disrupted and show up in other places, not to mention the simple trauma from the car accident itself.
Mm-hmm.
But things were happening that didn't make sense. And some of the experiences I had were dealing with the neuropathy that I mentioned earlier. And this was showing up in my extremities, my hands and feet. Somebody once defined the way my feet felt, which were like my feet were very stiff. And usually we can walk on pliable feet and feel comfortable where we're going, but all of a sudden my feet felt like I was off balance. And doctors acknowledged that that's true, that's what was happening, and it showed up as something measurable in the form of neuropathy. So as I was getting treatment, and it was helping, but the thing that really helped a lot was when I went on the diet, things seemed to back off. And as might happen to many people, including myself, I would eat certain foods. It's not that we eliminate these foods, it's that we try to keep them in moderation. And sometimes I would eat more than I needed, or maybe I just wasn't counting, or something happened. And these symptoms would return. And Sally also explained that some of that was caused by the dumping process of the oxalates coming out of the body when the body wasn't being overloaded. But it also happened because of the food that I was eating. And so I was able to identify that. And that helped me get better, which in turn allowed me to feel very grateful for this information that Sally had given me, because it gave me a way to manage my own health. And now, from now on into the future, whenever I have issues that come up, I can stop and think, I can review my lists, I can go to a support group, I can read information. I've gotten lots of information from Sally. I can go to her website at sallyknorton.com. I can get validation of what's happening in my body and fix myself. Mm-hmm. The one place that I couldn't get information on this was trying to get it from my doctor's office and even really from the internet itself. It's pretty difficult to get this information somewhere else. So I feel very lucky that I have the opportunity to have Sally with us and sharing so graciously of all the information that she's gathered and to have information that I never knew was available. So I've turned my anger at the information into a very nice feeling, and empowerment is what I feel now.
And you feel that you can help others as well?
Absolutely. I share it with everyone I can possibly share it with. Mm-hmm. So
that's really good to hear. See, I knew Sally was on the right track, but this is the first time I've really sat down and had this much time to learn about it, and I really appreciate that.
We do too. Once you've recovered from what I call oxalate poisoning, you feel that everyone deserves to know that that's possible. I was searching for decades. Here I am, a professional, and didn't know what was wrong with me. And I just feel that's an unjust world to be in. If you're genuinely looking for health and willing to do what it takes, but no one's handing you this option. So the opportunity to hand you and your listeners this option is what I now live to do.
All right. Well, thank you very much for sharing. SallyKNorton.com. I just call her Sally. And Jane Cummings, I was so glad to meet you.
Thank you very much for the opportunity.
Great.
What a pleasure.
Yeah. Lightly on the Ground Radio is a Sunny Gardner production for Richmond Independent Radio. That's 97.3 FM and WRIR.org. Production of this episode was sponsored by Good Foods Grocery, located in Stony Point, where Forest Hill Avenue intersects Huguenot Road. You can befriend us on Facebook at LOTG Radio so you'll know who will appear on the show, and you can email Sunny at WRIR.org to participate in the discussion. Our theme music is Bonefire Dance by Rattlemouth, and the incidental music today was I Feel Lucky by Mary Chapin Carpenter. And we are three feeling lucky kind of women right now, right?
Yes, we are.
Yes,
thank
indeed.
You so much. Lightly on the Ground Radio is broadcast at noon on Wednesdays, and you can listen anytime at our portal at WRIR.org. And while you're there, you may donate to our all-volunteer radio station if you are so led. I hope this conversation was useful to you. So wake up, walk in the light, and live lightly on the ground. Thank you for listening, and thanks again for coming, Sally.
What a pleasure.
And Jane.
Thank you.
Thank you.